God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, sir.
How was your night?
Good, sir.
I am pleased to see you.
Thank you, sir.
Is anyone pleased to see me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, you don't look so. Well, I'm happy to see you, whether you're happy to see me or not. I had a good night. I went to bed about 10 or something like that, 10:30, if I recall. And did I break a rule?
Yes.
What rule is that? No, I didn't say my lights were on. I said I fell asleep about 9:10 or 10:30. Now, is there a rule that says you must start snoring at 10:30?
No.
There's a rule that says that?
No,
I don't want to break any more rules. I've broken so many. And I woke up about 3:45 because I travel so much. I'm always in a different time zone. So I just sleep when I'm sleepy. Are you following me? Because my internal clock is so distracted. I'm not complaining. Praise God for the privilege of traveling to preach. But I usually wake up early when I travel. So I was praying and reciting Bible verses and thinking of you and praying for you and looking forward to our sessions together and thanking God for this privilege to be here to experience this with you. I don't have my watch with me. Who has a watch that works? Does that work? All right, what time is it? 9:50? So I have how many minutes? 40? All right, let me just pull this over. Hope it doesn't fall over. Okay. Are we ready?
Yes, sir.
All right, okay. Today, I want to talk about the central issue. And that is the law of God. Seventh-day Adventists have a contribution to make to theology that is unique. What does the word unique mean? Special, something else? One of a kind. Like Lucifer. Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Sealest up the sum meant he was one of a kind, no other like him. And that unique contribution to theology or Bible understanding is what? Three words. Take 10 seconds to think. Raise your hand if you know. What is the Adventist contribution to theology or Bible study? Can be expressed in three words, and you know what those three words are.
Three angels, four.
But you're right. I can't argue with that. But I want it said differently. The
law of God.
The law of God. Okay, four words. No, three words. Four. I want three. The law of God is right in the middle, so I can't argue with your question or your response. But there's something else I want to hear. The Sabbath day, that's right in the middle of it, but that's not what I'm listening for. The Ten Commandments is right, is the spinal cord, but that's not what I'm listening for. The great controversy. We are the only church that understands the Bible in the context of the great controversy. What do I mean by in the context of the great controversy? Okay, my sister says through prophecy. What do I mean by in the context of the great controversy? In the context of the struggle between good and evil. A context is like an umbrella under which you stand. Everything you do under that umbrella. Are you with me? So when the raindrops are coming, you're under this umbrella. All our Bible teachings are under the umbrella of the great controversy. You following me?
Yeah.
All right. Now, as my brother said, the great controversy is that struggle between good and evil. But let's personalize it. Personalize the struggle between good and evil. Personalize it. Think of the word person. So we have good and evil. We need persons. Yeah, say it loudly. Say it. Christ and Satan. Think. While I'm speaking, ask God to put his words in my mouth. Please do that. It's a serious request. And think. When you personalize something, you put a personality into it. The struggle between good and evil can be personalized to mean the struggle between Christ and Satan. Now, we know Revelation 12. Let's go to verse 7 quickly of Revelation 12. The last book of the Bible, you should have no difficulty finding it. Revelation 12, reading from verse 7. Who has it? Read, my good brother, read for us. Verse 7 of Revelation 12. And there was. Mm-hmm. Michael. Mm-hmm. Go on. And prevailed not. Verse 8. Mm-hmm. Verse 9. And the great dragon, that old, called the, and which deceiveth, he was, and his angels. Let's thank you very much. What's your name? Because you read for me yesterday. Hmm? Nathan. What can you tell me about Nathan in the Bible? That did what? He's best known for doing what? Telling David of his sin. Yes, a prophet rebuked a king. Yes, indeed. God bless you, Brother Nathan. Look at that passage we just read. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. What do we have? Two sides. There are only two sides in the battle of life. The side of Christ or the side of Satan. There is no middle ground. Young brothers and sisters, listen to me carefully. There are only two sides in the battle for your soul. The battle of life, the great controversy, the side of Christ and the side of Satan. If you're not on the side of Christ, you're on the side of Satan. You don't have to be on the side of Satan by choice. You have to be on the side of Christ by choice. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
All right. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was the place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth what? Say that again. Which deceiveth?
The whole world.
Is that true?
Yes, sir.
The whole world? Come on, think twice. Did you have breakfast?
Yes, sir.
Did you like it?
Yes, sir.
Well, think again. Does he deceive the whole world?
Yes, sir.
Well, what do you think that verse means? Because the verse doesn't lie. We have to understand it properly. What does the verse mean, deceiveth the whole world?
The world is referring to people that aren't God.
Ah, and how many are they? And he succeeds. Ah, that's it. Almost the whole world. So the Bible says he deceiveth the whole world. But when you read the whole world, you must read Revelation 13:8 and see what I mean. That gives you an explanation as to what is meant by deceiveth the whole world. Because if he deceives the whole world, no one can be saved. Are you with me? Are you sure?
Yes, sir.
Do you argue on Wednesdays?
Yes, sir.
All right. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
No, you're not. Okay, read Revelation 13, verse 8, and it'll help you understand Revelation. Yes, my good brother, read. Uh-huh. And how many that dwell upon the earth?
All.
Go on. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Now, read Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5. Read it from the, okay, go ahead. Before we get to 3:5, read for us, my brother.
And all the people who belong to this world.
Uh-huh. Okay. Oh, that's nice. I like that. All the people who belong to this world. Do you belong to this world or you belong to Mars? Which one do you belong to? No, you don't belong to this world. Where do you physically live? But where do you belong? Yes. Now, that's literal. What do I mean by that's literal? We're what? We're who? As a child of God, this is not your home. We are just, yes. Hebrews 11, verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed they were pilgrims and strangers on the earth. Hebrews 11, 9. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country. Dwelling in what? Tabernacles. But what did he look for? Verse 10. For he looked for a city. What's the difference between a city and a tabernacle? What is this? This is a tabernacle. Can you move this? Yes. Do you move a city? No, not normally. No. So Abraham lived with a temporary mindset regarding this world. And I'm taking a long time to explain what we read into in Revelation 12:9. You do not belong to this world. Go to John chapter 17 quickly. Jesus will back me up. Actually, I back him up. Yeah, no, not 1 John. That's a book I love very much. You're memorizing from it. John 17, the same author. John 17, read verse 15 and 16. Yes, my dear sister. John 17, 15 and 16.
I do not pray that you should take them out of the world.
Uh-huh. So what Christ is saying, don't take them out physically, but keep them from the influences. Next verse.
They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world.
Yes. Who is he praying for? Us, the disciples. And that's us by extension, because we are in the same stream of truth. You do not belong to this world. If you will accept that as literal, you'll eat differently. You'll dress differently. You'll play differently. You'll spend your money differently. You'll have different friends. Everything becomes different. Go to Philippians chapter 3 quickly. I don't know why I'm staying on this, but I guess if you get nothing else, get this. You do not belong to this world. Your zip code is somewhere in heaven. Philippians chapter 3, reading verse 20. Yes, my dear sister, verse 20. Behind her. Stop. Now, the Greek word for conversation there means what? Citizenship is where? In heaven. Listen to me. That is no joke. All right. We go back to Revelation 12:9. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was the place found anymore in heaven. There are two sides to this struggle. Christ, Satan, righteousness, sin. Truth, error, light, darkness. Are you with me?
Yes.
All right. But the Bible says, listen to the words again, Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. Where did the dragon get angels? So God gave him angels? What happened? He stole them. All right, okay. That's one interpretation. That's cute. He stole them. How did he steal them? By deceiving them. What was the object of his deception? That's what we want to focus on. What's our focus of the day? The law of God. The law of God expresses, someone about to say the person of Christ? Was someone about to say that? No? Okay. The law of God expresses the character of God. Now, how do you get perfect angels to switch their allegiance, follow me closely, from Christ to Satan?
You deceive them.
Okay, you deceive them, yes. But what is the manner or the method or the central focus of that deception? What does the deception target?
Doubt.
All right, someone said doubt. Yes, doubt. Life. Yes, he did. Yes, he wanted to get at the heart. How do you do that? You see, listen to the question again. Satan had to switch the allegiance of the angels from Christ to himself. Now, there is a very specific strategy for doing that. All of what you said is correct, but there is a very specific strategy for switching allegiance from the angels, from Christ to himself. Yes, my good brother. Discredit Jesus, and there's a specific way to do that. Yes. He did what? Well, it's presumably easier, apparently easier. Yes.
Okay,
we have a preacher among us. He attacked the law. Now, why attack the law in order to get the angels to switch to his side? Let's look at some Bible verses. Go to Galatians chapter 5, quickly. One of my favorite books of the Bible, Galatians 5. All right. Read verse 14. Listen carefully. Galatians 5, verse 14. Nice and loud. Let everyone hear your voice.
Even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
All right. So love, the expression of love, is the fulfillment of the law. Is that clear? But we're not one verse Christians. Let's go to Mark chapter 12, reading from verse 28. Mark 12, reading from verse 20. Yes, my dear sister. Read for us.
And one of the scribes came and heard them reasoning together. Believing that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all?
By first, he meant the most important. And Jesus, next verse, 29.
And Jesus answered him, of all the commandments of Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord.
And thou shalt, go on, next verse. Go on. And the second is like, thou shalt love thy neighbor. Now, both commandments express love. So Jesus says the most important commandment is love God. The second most important is love your neighbor. But how do you show you love God? You've got to love your neighbor. So you really can't separate them. But God must always come first. Now, here again we see commandment and love. Let's go to Romans 13. Romans 13, some one of my brothers read for me. Yes, right here. 10, oh, I'm sorry. 13, verse 10, yes. Timekeeper, what time is it? 10:05, 10:06, okay.
Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law.
Here again, we have love and law. Go to Exodus. Well, let's not go to Exodus. Let's just say it from memory. Commandment 2. What commandment is that? Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Now listen to the rest of the words. And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my... So here again we have love and commandments. Let's go to Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah chapter 1. You have that? Nehemiah's praying. Let's read from verse 4 of Nehemiah 1. Nehemiah gets a report from his cousin, some relative called Hanani. Now the walls of Jerusalem broken down, the gates are broken down, terrible conditions. Here's what happens. Here's what Nehemiah does. Reading verse 4 of Nehemiah 1. Read, my dear brother. Listen to the prayer now. Listen carefully. Go on.
And said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant
and mercy for them that
love him and observe his commandments.
Yes. Again, we have what two things connected? Love and the law. You destroy the law, you destroy any comprehension of love a created being can have. Ah, you didn't hear me.
Yes,
sir. Ah, you were too slow to argue. You didn't hear me. No, you didn't. Listen, what did I say? I told you didn't hear me. Huh? Listen again. You destroy the law, and you destroy the only means by which a created being can grasp what it means to love. Notice I said a created being. Remove the law, only God can understand love and express it. Now, the angels loved God and they expressed that love through the law. There's no other way to express love. Well, let Jesus tell you. John 14, 15, don't go. Tell me from your head, you're an Adventist. If you love me, yes, John 14, 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Verse 23, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And the word words in 23 means commandments. 1 John 2:4, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. 2 John 4:6, this is love. This is love that we keep his commandments. And this is a commandment. Love, commandment from Genesis to Revelation. Now, the only way the angels could express love is through the faithfulness of the commandments. Let me show you where the Bible says the angels keep the commandments. Go to Psalm 103. Read verse 20. What time is it, Sister Timekeeper? 10:08. I have how many minutes? 22. This is a big subject for just, my dear sister, read for us. 103 verse 20. My little sister wanted to read first. We let her read. All right, sister, go ahead. Strength that. Yes, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Yes. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments. The angels keep the commandments of God and thereby express their love. Now, in order, if that is the only way to express love, unless you can think of another way that God never talked about. If, let me put the commandments up here. Here they are. These are 10 commandments. How many on this table? How many on this one? All right. According to the Bible and what we've read, the only way to express love is to keep this. Of course, you can only keep that if it's written in the heart by the power of the Spirit of Christ. All right. Then if you destroy this, what do you destroy? The way to express, you can't destroy love, but you destroy the only way a created being can express love. To destroy love, you have to destroy God. Are you with me? But you can destroy the only way a created being can. I think I've lost some of you. Come on, tell the truth and shame the devil. Nah, I've lost you. Now, this is a real true argument. Now, I've lost you, some of you. What's the only way to show love to God? For human beings or for angels? Both. Oh, who said both? I like you. Yes, both. You said both? I like you too. Both. Both. Not just angels or human beings. What about beings on unfallen worlds? How do they express love? They keep the commandments. What you need to understand, the commandments represent God's standard for the entire universe. Nah, you said amen because you like me, but you didn't understand what I said. Let me say it again. You did? All right, don't hit me. I believe you. All right. Listen carefully. The commandments express God's standard for the entire universe. Say the Lord's Prayer with me. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Stop. What's God's will? Don't hesitate. What's God's will? His law. This. For a created being, God has no will outside of this. Now remember, this is exceeding broad. Psalm 119 verse 96. Exceeding broad. So we think we are exhausted. We cannot. Anything that represents God's character cannot be exhausted. And so, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Keep reading, or keep saying. On earth, how? As it is in heaven. Now, who's in heaven? The angels. Where are the unfallen worlds? Somewhere in heaven. The Bible says, we must keep this. How? The way all other created intelligent beings keep it. Don't look at your carnal nature. Look at the power of Christ. Now, since this is the only way, Satan had to target this to destroy love for God. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
That's why God has raised up a church in these last days to lift up what? His law. His law-abiding people. No, that's fine. His law-abiding people. Yes. Because most of the Christian world says what about the law? It was nailed to the cross. It's done away with. You're under grace. And God has one small, and we don't even do it faithfully. which is a crime against humanity. So Satan had to attack this. Now, listen to Ellen White, Great Controversy, page 582, paragraph 1. From the very beginning of the great controversy in heaven, it has been Satan's purpose to overthrow the law of God. It was to accomplish this that he entered upon his rebellion against the Creator. And though he was cast out of heaven, he has continued the same warfare upon the earth. Now, let's track that in the Bible. What about Revelation 12? Let's read verse 7 again. Revelation 12, verse 7. Yes, Brother Nathan, the prophet, read for us. And there was. That's all I need, Nathan. That's all I need. Your prophets or your words, though few, are powerful. And there was war in heaven. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
That's one war. That's a phase of a war. Now, verse 9 tells us what? The dragon was cast out. Where? To the earth. Ellen White says he has continued this same warfare. Where? On the earth. Let's read verse 17. Let's say together, we're Adventists. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war stop. Where did we find the word war? Where did that war take place? Where do we find the second mention of war? Where is that war taking place? Are the two sides different? No. Why were we about to say yes? That will help some light. Why were we about to say yes, they're different? What two sides were you about to tell me?
One is evil and one is good.
Well, yes, but someone was about to say no, the two sides are different. Yes, you're probably going to say it's Satan and the church. But there's no difference between Christ and his church. The church is the body of Christ. What did Jesus say to Saul on the road to Damascus? Saul, Saul, what? Persecutest thou me? What did he say in Matthew 25? Inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least my brethren. Finish it. Yes, that's how closely Christ identifies with you. So when those classmates of yours who are not converted give you a hard time, they're messing with Jesus. And Christ will take care of them. Ah, you didn't hear me. You didn't. When you are persecuted, be calm, be cool. Actually, pray for the persecutor. Because Christ, who died out of love, knows how to punish out of love. You know what the Bible says? It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. When God gets sick and tired of you, and he decides to punish you, it's not a pretty picture. So when your classmates who are not converted harass you and give you a hard time, you pray that they will stop, not for your sake, but for their sakes. Because if they keep it up and God has to deal with them, even you will cry for them. Read Revelation 12:70 now. And the dragon was, say it with me, wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the... Here we have the object of... You see, if the church did not keep the commandments, who can finish what I'm about to say? The dragon would be okay. Now you need to get this. Let me say it again. If the church, the Seventh-day Adventist church, were to give up the Ten Commandments, Satan would go to Acapulco, Hawaii, and take a vacation. The reason why he fights is this. Now, how many women are in Revelation? Name them. Where are they? Revelation 12? And Revelation... Don't be afraid. If you're wrong, speak up, then I can correct you or someone else. Where are these two women? And Revelation 12 and 17. Now, which one belongs to God? And the one in 17 must belong to Satan because there are only two sides. Are you with me?
Yes.
All right. But are you sure there are only two women in Revelation?
Yes, sir.
All those who say two women, let me see your hand. I see one hand. All those who say six women, raise your hand. Three, two, raise your hand. What's wrong with the rest of you? You think I want to trick you? Is that it? You're right. Okay. All right. Here's the tricky part. Go to Revelation 17. Go to Revelation 17. Sister Timekeeper, what time is it? Oh, my. I just have 12 minutes. Okay, hold on a minute. Hold on, my handsome brother. Hold on, hold on. Do you have Revelation, what did I say, 17? Read verse 5. Now, here's what I want you to do. All those with the King James Version, stand up. You got to keep my version of King James, stand up. The rest of you don't feel I don't love you. I love you too. But just King James, I want a chorus of reading. Now, as one chorus, on the count of three, we read verse 5. Are you ready?
Yes,
come on, are you ready?
Yes, sir.
One, two, three, verse 5. Was it written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. Stop. Sit. 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 The mother of what? Harlots. In order to have harlots, what must you be? A harlot. A cat doesn't produce puppies. Are you with me? So if, listen to me, if Babylon has daughters, all the daughters are women, how many women are in Revelation? Lots, but I don't want to lead you astray. There are only two kinds of women in Revelation. Now tell me you got that. There are only two kinds of women in Revelation. The one that, and all the rest. The mother and all her harlotty daughters. Are you following me?
Yes.
Now, listen to Revelation 12:17 now that you understand that. And the dragon was wroth with, of all the women in Revelation 17, all those from the harlot, there were hundreds of them, and this one woman in Revelation 12, he is only angry with the one in 12. Which means, what is his attitude to the others? They're okay with him. Now, this is not politically correct, but I couldn't care less about that. They are fine with him. Who's lost? Tell me. Let me try to clarify it. You must follow what I'm saying. There are thousands of religions on the face of the earth. Satan is angry with one. And it's the one that lifts up this. And he's so angry, he has gotten into this church. Let me identify the church that's called up to honor God's law. Come on, take that off for me, please, my muscular brother. All right, there you go. SDA. That's us. Put it back on for me, my good brother. Blessings on you. The Lord bless you with a nice, nice. Okay. Okay. Huh? Isn't that amazing? The only church that upsets the enemy is the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Because all the others are exactly where he wants them, opposed to God's law. Now, in Christ Object Lessons, page 283, paragraph 3, Ellen White writes these words. There are only two classes in the world today. And only two classes will be recognized in the judgment. Follow me closely, don't talk. Those who violate God's law and those who obey it. In a publication, the West Indian Messenger, July 1, 1912, paragraph 5, she writes this powerful statement. The only question asked in the judgment is, are they obedient to my commandments? Satan started his attack against God's law in heaven. God committed the law to his people, the Israelites. They weren't faithful. He worked with them for hundreds of years. He continued with them into the New Testament until AD 34. Then he moved to spiritual Israel. We are the remnant of that tradition of truth. Let me put it more bluntly. Who were God's special people in the Old Testament? Who are God's special people today? Seventh-day Adventists. Last Day Events, Bible Commentary, Volume 5, not Bible Commentary, Testimonies, Volume 5, page 455, paragraph 2, listen. God has called his church in this day as he called ancient Israel. Thank you, sister. But let me say it again. The same way God called Israel, he's called us. And because of that, We are the keepers of the law. Last Day Events, page 45, paragraph 1. God has committed to us sacred and eternal truth. Sacred and eternal truth. That's the heart and soul of it. Which is to be given to others in faithful warnings, rebukes, and encouragement. Satan's attack against the law is fought out in this church. I was in a certain country. Sister Timekeeper, what's the time? 12, 20, 9, 20, 10, 25? 3. All right, I'll be done in a couple of minutes. I was staying at the home of a minister. I was doing a week of revival for him, and somewhere in Europe, I won't call the country. He told me something that I couldn't believe. I told him to his face, no, that's not the truth. In his field, Seventh-day Adventist field, a petition was circulated among the ministers from the conference office or the union office, whatever it was. Two things. One, do not quote Ellen White from the pulpit. And the other attempt, which was not quite as formal but just as vigorous, they are trying to make the Ten Commandments optional. You see why I told him that's not true? And he looked me straight in the eye and said, no, I am part of this field. They are trying to make the Ten Commandments optional, which is precisely what Satan wants. Do as you like. You can admire Satan. You know why? Satan is so crafty. He gets into the very organization called to defend the law and raises up people in that organization to attack God's law. Is that a hand up, Nathan?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yes, there's some preachers that have Satan in them. Yes, they are Satan's zip code. Yes. Hopefully not too many. And hopefully God can raise you up to counter their influence. I'm going to stop today on the law. I want to review. The central issue in the great controversy is what? The law. Always remember that. The only way to show love to God is this. Christ didn't say, if you love me, tell me. Which is what most Christians do. What did he say? And do what else? And what else? No. Keep my commandments. And what else? And what else? And what else? Nothing. Because this is the whole duty of what? If this is the whole duty, you cannot have something else. Now I know I lost you. I lost him. I didn't lose you. So you're trying to catch something from the air. Maybe you're trying to catch truth. Okay. Tell me what you remembered quickly. Quickly, quickly. Yes, my dear sister. Obedience is law. Yes. Someone else. Yes, Nathan.
The people in other worlds and the angels that are true to God.
Mm-hmm. They keep the Ten Commandments, of course. Yes, Adriana. We do not, somebody say amen. We do not belong to this world. Remember that in every area of your life. Yes, my brother. The only way to express love for a created being. I see a hand. The hand is up, but the head is down. Okay, yes. From the beginning, it still is. Come on, say amen. The same way God called the Israelites, he's, now don't doubt that. The moment you doubt that, you become to water down our teachings. And you try to ecumenize. Is that a word? Yes. The only way to destroy love entirely, all the law, is to destroy God, yes. Satan can destroy our love for God. He can't destroy love itself. Yes. Well, and that place is God's church. Mm-hmm.
To love God, we need to keep his commandments.
To love God, we must keep. There is no other way. All right, we have to stop. How many of you will say, Lord, give me a love for your law? Can I see your right hand? Hands down, one more commitment. Help me to live as a genuine Seventh-day Adventist. Can I see your right hand? Heads bowed. Father in heaven, bless my young brothers and sisters. Let the words that were spoken, Father, you take my meager, weak effort, magnify it, perfect it, and now apply it to every listening heart, I pray. Let us live like law keepers. Let us live by those who've been entrusted with this law to live it and to teach it. But let us understand the law is love. Please bless every young man, every young woman, every teacher, every counselor, I pray. In Jesus' name, let all God's people say, amen and amen. What time is it, Sister Timekeeper? All right. Enjoy the rest of the day. I'll see you after supper.